Lanny, it is great to have you on the line, my friend. It's awesome to hear from you. How are we doing?
We are doing very good. It's great to be on the line with you. Let me tell you.
That is good to hear. It's good to hear that Lanny chuckle. I got to ask you, and I would encourage everybody to go on over to sportsnet.ca. Our colleague Eric Francis had a great chat with you and Ardell, really enlightening stuff. So I just want to start right off the bat and take you back to Saturday night in the game that the Flames won over the Montreal Canadiens and the ovation that you got that night. How much did what happened on Saturday mean to you, Lanny?
I'm not even sure you can put it in words. and I'll get all emotional all over again because, quite frankly, I didn't know what to expect. It was truly unbelievable and overwhelming at the same time to see all the people cheering and standing, and it meant a tremendous amount to me, and to on such a great night honoring the 89 team and having seven of my teammates all around that night, hanging out, having a few laughs together was actually the best therapy you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Since what happened in early February, can you describe the outpouring that you and Ardell have received, whether it's alumni or fans, the hockey world? Can you put that into words?
I don't know if I can, I received hundreds and hundreds of text messages and emails with so many people just saying, don't bother writing back. We just wanted to let you know we care. And those are people from the hockey world, people, old teammates, people from the oil and gas business that I had worked with for 15 years before taking over as chairman of the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, and people that I hadn't talked to in years. And it was so unbelievably therapeutic. And it was a great reminder for myself when you hear someone maybe going through a challenging time, you text him or you pick up the phone and call because it made a world of difference to me. The day they filmed all the players coming off the ice wishing me well, that is the best therapy you can possibly have, and it helps your healing process so much.
How are we feeling today? How's Lanny doing right now?
Well, you know, this darn snow kind of cut my walk in half. You know, I've been 2 weeks ago, I was averaging 4.5 kilometers a day. The last 2 weeks, I've been up in 7, sometimes 8 kilometer range, walking, trying to get my strength back. Because that's what they want you to do in trying to help recover. And it kind of put a damper on it. So I've been up and down the stairs in the house. I've walked 5 kilometers today. I'm not sure I'm going to get the other 3 in. But you know what? The farmers need the snow. So you know what, I'll just suck it up and walk more tomorrow.
That's awesome, and that's great to hear that that it's ramped up like that. And I know that you've talked about this a few times now, but you know, I know that so many people in this city are going to be happy to hear your voice and to hear you on with us. Can you describe what happened that day from your recollection and what you've been able to piece together? Can you take us back to early February now that you've had some real time to reflect on it?
You know, I am, and I mean this sincerely, I am the luckiest guy. I got off the plane. I hadn't gone 200 feet. As the doctor said, if it would have happened on the plane or if I'd got to my vehicle and they would not have had time to actually save me. And you talk about being in the right place at the right time and being extremely lucky that when I fell and went down, my legs just, I knew I was going down, and I called Ardell, and she didn't even get back to me by the time I went face first. I tried to reach for a railing on the side, and that was the last thing I remember, basically, for I woke up in the emergency, but to have a guy jump off the moving sidewalk and help roll me over, and the two nurses being right there to start CPR, and then the policeman shows up less than 2 minutes later to take over from the two nurses, and between the three of them really bring me back to life. I mean, I think halfway to heaven at that point, and to be able to have this conversation, even though it's still emotional, I am the luckiest guy you could possibly imagine.
Uh-huh. I gotta say, hearing that, like, we knew how serious it was, and I read Eric's piece earlier, and yet to hear you say it, Lanny, it gives you chills to think about where it was and to hear you say it. How's Ardell been throughout this whole thing? Like, you go through it and she's right there by your side. How's she been throughout this last month and a half?
She is a rock. Between her and my kids and my grandkids, they are so strong, but Ardella sadly has had to drive me everywhere for doctor's appointments and everything the last while, because you can't drive when you have a defibrillator put into your body, which if your heart goes below, I think it's 45, it will automatically shock you and bring you back. So modern technology never ceases to amaze me, but my family has been unbelievable. My daughters and my sons, I couldn't ask for more from my family. Looking back, I feel so badly that Ardell had to go through what she had to at the airport, and even watching the policeman basically break my sternum and ribs. But as the doctor told me later, that's the only way he saved your life. So yeah, my chest and my sternum, my ribs and that are still sore, but it certainly beats the alternative.
Yeah. Laddie, do you, it's funny because you talk to, you've done so many trips abroad and been around our heroes who are protecting this country and in the Canadian Forces. You've done so much with the alumni, with whether it's our great Calgary police officers or our firefighters, our paramedics. these people, they never want to take the credit for it. Do you make sure that you reach out to that officer and the two nurses? And like, for them, it's just doing their job. But for you, it's a whole lot more than them doing their job, right?
It is. And, you know, it's interesting. My daughter went out on day two to visit with the police officer doesn't want his name mentioned, just doing his job. It took us the longest time to find the nurses. We haven't been able to contact them. And I think they're in the same boat as the police officer, where the first responders between the nurses, doctors, and policemen that help save people's lives and make a difference every day. And they don't want any credit. They just, hey, we did our job. I can't wait to go out. My daughter is arranging for me to see the policeman. And I said to her, like, holy smokes, he must have been like 350 pounds and like about 6'7" to break me up the way he did. And my daughter laughed and said, no, Dad, he was probably smaller than you, built a whole lot better right now, but then you're 70. And kind of put it all into perspective that, you know what, he knew exactly what he was doing, had to do. In fact, Ardell asked him in the middle of it, do you have to be so hard? Are you like, can you not like take it easy? She thought he was punching all the way through to China. And he simply said, yes, it's what I have to do. So I have so many people to be thankful for, the people, the doctors and nurses in the hospital and in emergency. I remember waking up in emergency, and then I was only with it for a few minutes, and then basically I was awake for the next 4 days till the operation, and I don't remember basically anything. I had family come to visit. I remember my kids being there, but my sister-in-law, my brother came, don't remember them being there. So it was quite a journey, and to be able to thank the nurses and doctors and the policemen that help save people's lives each and every day. And maybe you mentioned going to Afghanistan. I have had this love affair with the Canadian Armed Forces, and I have always talked about them in all my speeches about what a great team they are, and every hockey team should go over or spend some time at the Armed Forces to see what it really takes playing together as a team. And it's taught me so much life lessons. And then looking back, you just realize how lucky you are to be able to keep doing what I did before, and maybe be a little bit smarter and maybe not quite do as much as I used to. The tough part is asking people for help, because like even I couldn't shovel the walk today. My dear daughter shoveled the walk, and to watch her shovel drives me crazy, but I don't have a choice. And my son-in-law just texted me, hey, do you need the driveway shoveled? And I said, no, Anders already got it covered, and Richard, our good friend, plowed the driveway earlier today. So, yeah, there's so many good people out there, and I feel, like I said, the luckiest guy.
Lenny, it's Wes here. So good to hear your voice. I want to give you a chance to expand on something, because I know from what I've read on social media and from your interview on the broadcast the other night, you've sort of compared the healthcare professionals and the first responders to sort of a team. You've learned a lot of teamwork from them as well. Where does that really shine through for you?
Well, when you think about what happened at the airport, of the gentleman that helped roll me over, jumped off the moving sidewalk over a barrier to help Adele roll me over. The nurses are headed for a flight and stop to help. And then the policeman, and it's amazing when I look back how many people played a part in it to give me a second chance. And you talk about a hockey team, and I'd like to believe I've been a team player my whole life. But this takes it to another level, and maybe I got an inkling of it when I was in Afghanistan visiting the troops. But how many people it took to help me through those first 2 weeks in the hospital was unbelievable. And, I'm kind of speechless. And then what happened at the rink the other night, I've cried. I'm a big softie. I've cried more in the last 5 weeks than I think I've cried my entire life. Being thankful.
I know you maybe haven't been able to cheer as loud as you're accustomed to in the last few weeks, but how's hockey and your favorite team sort of helped you through this part of it?
You know what? I still text back and forth with the guys. You talk about a great captain. Michael Backlund texted me off and on all those first couple of weeks through being in the hospital. Text me, the entire team text me and wish me a happy birthday on my birthday after being there for, I think, 11 or 12 days. But then both Michael Backlund and Jonathan Huberdeau and Oliver Shillington all text me after being at the game on Saturday night. Like, you talk about cool. Colin Patterson and I were so lucky to be able to, the last couple of years, go on the dads trip. We got to not only know the dads, but get to know the players even better. And to text back and forth with probably half of the team over the last couple of years, they know it goes nowhere. I try and give them not a pep talk, but just encouragement so that they can play at the top of their game. And to have them all wishing me well through this challenging time is powerful. And I can't wait to get back down to the dressing room, not to tell them how to play, just to say thank you and appreciate everything they are doing. I think Ryan Huska has done a hell of a job coaching, and so is Craig Conroy with the changes he was really forced to make. And like, I like where the team is at. Obviously, they wish they'd have won a few more games than they have right now. But you know what? I'll be a Flames fan forever, regardless of what happens.
It's been a fun group to watch, hasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. You look at young guys. My grandson, he's a Connor Zary fan. You look at Pospisil. You look at how they have brought out the best in Nazem Kadri. You look at the young guys on defense who are playing great with Oliver back in the lineup and playing so well. He's probably the best skater on the team. He can lead a rush, and you know he's still going to get back. There's so many good things going on, and I've never seen – I tease Jonathan all the time to shoot more. He's got a great shot. He's so strong, but he loves to be the setup guy, and he passes when sometimes he should be shooting. But the goals that he has set up are, like, unbelievable. And so I keep telling him, hey, you're doing great. Don't change a thing. But I do tease him about shooting more. And we laugh about it. And, yeah, I love where the team is at. And Michael Backlund, that line with Mangiapane, Backlund, and Coleman, like, oh my gosh, they're supposed to be a checking line. Well, they're all plus players, and you can put them out against anybody, and they play their hearts out. You look at the three goaltenders now, and you look at Uyghur and Anderson on defense, and now with Oliver jumping in there, the new guys have great people to look up to, and I think there's going to be great things down the road for the team.
I know we were all thinking of you about 2.5 weeks ago when they raised Mika Kiprusoff's jersey up to the rafters. I know you would have loved to be there in person, but maybe a thought on the ceremony and how deserving Mika is to have his jersey now up there with yours and Mike Vernon's and Jerome McGinley's.
Well, I got to tell you, I would have loved to have been there. I did text Kipper. He wrote me back. He said some very nice things in his speech. I did watch the whole thing. I thought the entire ceremony was absolutely phenomenal. I thought the Flames did an absolutely awesome job celebrating Kipper and what he meant to the franchise. And to see his jersey go up there is so well deserved.
Lanny, we so appreciate the time, and I guess just one more to wrap it up with you. You know, after all of what has gone on and all of what you've experienced in the last month and a half, I honestly can't imagine the highs and the lows. Just what does it mean to be a part of the Calgary Flames family and the Flames alumni, and what does it mean to be a Calgarian and an Albertan? What do all of these things mean to Lanny now? We all know they meant a lot before, but here we are on March 20th. How much more do those things mean now to you?
Well, I think when you look back, I was worried when I got traded back here way back in November of '81. Thinking, oh my gosh, can you actually go home? and you look what has happened over the last 40 plus years, and how I got treated when I got back here after the trade, and to be able to spend my life here in Calgary, win the cup with the greatest bunch of guys that we will be friends forever. And 35 years ago, can you imagine, who would have imagined that 35 years has gone that quickly? And to be able to still be here and cheer on my favorite team, and don't tell the Toronto fans that I like Calgary better, but hey, that's the way it is. And I love the Flames. I cheer like crazy every time I'm there, and can't wait to go back to another game here shortly.
We can't wait to see you at another game. We can't wait to see you at the next alumni event. It is so great to hear your voice. I know both Wes and I were beaming the entire time as a couple of Calgary boys born and raised. It's awesome to be able to chat with you today, and we mean that more than you know. Lanny, it's great to have chatted with you. It's great to have you here, and we'll see you down the road very shortly, hey?
Well, I look forward to it. And just before, I got to say, our alumni is, bar none, the best alumni in the league. I know a lot of the other teams believe theirs is. They're not even close for what the Flames alumni does each and every day in the community. We're so proud of it, and love hanging out and be a part of this great community. And it's why it means so much to all of us that the team does well.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Lanny. It's awesome to hear from you. Be well, hey?
All right. You guys take care. Thanks a lot.